Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A tsunami warning for Hawaii and the entire West Coast downgraded after one of the largest earthquakes on record hit eastern Russia. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Malibu.
When you talk about the panic that came from the sirens, bumper-to-bumper traffic for hours, this morning there is now relief after evacuation orders have been lifted.
The economy was growing again in the second quarter. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
According to the government, GDP, gross domestic product, that tallies up all the goods and services sold throughout the quarter, increased at an annualized pace of 3%.
President Trump says not only will his tariffs take effect Friday, he'll impose a 25% levy on India because it buys Russian oil. In the streets of Birmingham, England, thousands of fans paid respects to Ozzy Osbourne as a hearse carried the Black Sabbath frontman's coffin through his hometown. His family was there, too. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Nearly 70 active large-scale wildfires are burning over a million acres in the U.S. alone. And much of this wildfire activity is happening in the Pacific Northwest as well as Canada. And most of the recent ones are caused by dry lightning strikes that happened in dense, wooded areas with remote access.
This is really no different than any other year, other than the fact that it is a little bit earlier.
That's Catherine Coele, a Wisconsin DNR wildfire prevention specialist. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the fire control program staff from the state have been mobilized across the western U.S. and even into Canada to help combat the blazes.
Once you get notice of a resource order, you can be mobilized within 24 hours.
Both personnel and engines from Wisconsin have been moved to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments so far this year. But how can we afford to send resources when we have our own problems here?
You know, these experiences, they bring that back to Wisconsin. It's a way for us to improve our program here. They share those experiences. Hey, you know, we did this thing out in Oregon and it was really cool and it was a neat way to fight this fire. And it's those strategies are brought back to Wisconsin. So we learn and grow from those experiences when we bring those resources back.
Since we've had recent widespread rain and green vegetation across the state, wildfire activity here has subsided with a minimal fire risk in Wisconsin. Now, this has allowed the DNR to shift focus and help support national wildfire efforts. Right now, 20 different DNR staff have been moved to 12 different states, with three wildland fire engines currently stationed in Oregon. There are also six DNR staff in northern Manitoba and another DNR engine responding to fires in California. Wisconsin firefighters and engines are slated to be on assignment for about 2 weeks or until the fire severity subsides. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James J. Maloff, here with you, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Our head of production, our head of sound, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And, of course, the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. Let's kick things off the way we love to do around here with our good friend, Brittany Merlau. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. How you been?
Pretty good. Trying to deal with, you know, wildfire smoke battling out storms down south. We're just like right in the battleground. It's fun.
I don't know if anybody else got the image of just Brittany out there by herself, like trying to do this.
Battling all of the elements.
And I don't mean to make light of the situation by any means, but I did have an image pop in my head of you just with a big fan. And just because you would do that. You care that deeply, Brittany. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
I've got a fan and I've got a shield, one on each side, trying my best to get them out of here. So
that's Brittany, weather goddess.
It has just been a summer of this, and I can't speak for everybody else, but I know my eyes feel like they're dry constantly. Mm. I cannot breathe through my nose.
I've been getting headaches because of the smoke.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a summer of it.
Mm-hmm.
It sure has. It's either raining and hot and humid, or we've got blue skies that you can barely see because all the haze is in the way. Kind of getting annoying. It's kind of getting old. So we've got a ton of wildfires out west, up in Canada. I mean, the Wisconsin DNR has just been deployed to some of them to help now that our wildfire season is winding down here and we've got all this rain, right? We've been having tons of rain. And we're just sitting here waiting patiently for that dry spell that is right around the corner, aren't we?
Yeah. Just right around the corner. Yeah.
Yes. It's almost here. So today we've just got to deal with the wildfire smoke. It's pretty bad far up north. Hopefully that stays up there, but it is flirting with our area. And then, of course, temperatures much more comfortable. Highs in the mid-70s today. I like that part. That's the positive. Hang on to that part. Because, yes. Still chances for showers, especially this morning. I'd say more likely until about 11 o'clock this morning, but they are still possible till about 4. A lot of them are staying south right now. Plainfield's got some light drizzle. It's much, much worse further south, and it's going to stay that way. So right on the edge there, like I said, battling the two. But by tomorrow, we are looking at some of that wildfire smoke starting to lessen, probably in the afternoon, 3 or 4 or so. The sunshine dominating all day long, and of course, highs in the upper 70s to low 80s for the rest of the week and even into the weekend. It is just going to be calm and beautiful.
Nice.
Finally.
Love it. Get out there and enjoy it, everybody. Make some plans. We're going to be talking about a bunch of great things going on in our area for you to do. So we'll be getting to that in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now we got a forecast to back it up. All right.
All right.
We appreciate you, Brittany.
Good one, finally, after today, right? You're welcome.
Yes. Always good talking with you. You have a great morning.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks, Brittany.
Best in the business, our friend Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot. We appreciate her and appreciate all of you being here. We got good things on the way. The Yellow Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We're also going to talk aliens. Just going to leave that there.
Talk the aliens.
Yep. We have
loving the alien.
And guys, Europeans don't really dislike us as much as TV and movies try to make us think they do.
Good.
Getting into that, 10 o'clock hour will kick off. We'll talk some entertainment. Happy Gilmore 2 set a new record. I want to talk about that. Nintendo says Mario and Princess Peach are just friends. We will discuss.
For all these years.
Yeah. All that coming up. All those castles, crowd.
What was Mario doing all this time then?
You do a lot for friends. Or a lot when you're trying to get out of the friend zone. We'll get into it later. We got local theater I want to talk about as well. Had a great conversation with Steph and a couple of the cast members from the Brothers Grimm Spectaculathon last night.
Oh, great.
Or yesterday afternoon for Rapids Report. I encourage you to check that out. And Seth and I, after that, got to have a great interview with some friends of ours from CWAC, from Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater.
Ooh.
Yes, we did. Joe and, of course, Susan. Always a treat to have her with us. Mm-hmm. But talking about Romeo and Juliet starting tomorrow, everyone, going through the weekend at the Schmeichle Amphitheater. I love that word, amphitheater.
Yes.
Oh, say that.
Both
outdoors.
Words.
Yeah.
Schmeichle and amphitheater. Both words we don't have enough chance to use. Yep. All that coming up. We're also going to get into some good news stories of the day, and I got some other fun stuff for you lined up. But we begin with coffee. Of course.
As we should. Yes.
Mm-hmm. A salute. I don't have my coffee. I broke my coffee cup yesterday.
He broke it.
Finished mine.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm the only one with coffee. Oh, my gosh.
You're just slow.
We just need a coffee sponsor. That's what we need. We'd always have coffee. Go out of our way to talk about that.
That's right.
A lot of coffee drinkers would admit that they're addicted to caffeine, but they're usually lighthearted about it, even though it may have a death grip on their mornings. In a new survey, 81% of Americans say that drinking caffeine and about half of them say that their biggest source of caffeine is coffee.
Okay.
20% are drinking caffeinated soda, 7% are sipping a lot of tea, and 4% are guzzling energy drinks. Just as a side note, those numbers are way down for energy drinks.
That's good.
That hit a peak, and it has been dropping ever since. Sell your stock. Sell. It's just not one of those.
I find
ones.
It remarkable that more people are drinking tea specifically for caffeine than energy drinks. That's really interesting to me.
The energy drink thing, it took some time because it took time for it to destroy people's intestines and inner stomach lining and everything.
Yeah,
But people are starting to see that now, and these companies don't care about your energy.
Of course
they don't care about their bottom line. 30% of them say that they have tried to quit,
6% say that they haven't, but probably should. And 32% say that they have not tried to quit and, quote, wouldn't even try. And I believe there was a bunch of laughter after that. Or before it. I'm not sure if it was before or after.
Get out of here with that.
Only quit coughing.
You're hilarious.
Did you hear this one? Only 6% of people who have tried to quit caffeine have been successful.
Wow.
That's a really big number.
That's really kind of the surprise.
Yeah.
Growing up with a Hall of Fame addict and done a lot of studies on this and addiction and the brain and the way that this all works, I've never seen a stat like that. I have never seen a stat like that. I think that that's something that, in all seriousness, something worth is some consideration and some grace when it comes to addiction and comes to fighting addiction.
Sure.
Also, for a lot of people, drinking caffeine is an all or nothing habit. 29% of caffeine drinkers have it several times a day. Another 32% enjoy it once a day. 12% say that they can get by with a few times a week. And 6% would be able to limit themselves to a few times a month or maybe just once a week. Now that's what they're saying. None of these people have actually put this to work or tried this or anything. I think that's noteworthy. But only 1% of caffeine drinkers say that they have, quote, have it less often than that. People were also asked what it would take for them to make a serious effort to eliminate caffeine. 34% would do it for health reasons. 22% would try to improve sleep. 19% for dietary reasons. 17% said that they would like how caffeine affected their mood or nerves. And then another 17% said it would depend on feeling like they depended on it.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
I kind of fall into that category with these things. I tend to not notice I'm doing something too much until I realize I'm dependent on it, and I hate the idea of being dependent on anything. So it immediately like clicks in my brain. Hey, you're becoming a way too hooked on this thing. You need this too much, and it's not usually for me, at least in my history. It tends to be, I'll be honest, like especially when I was spending a lot more time alone, The Simpsons was kind of that for me.
Where
I knew it would make me smile, I knew it would make me laugh, so I'm just going to binge watch it. And this is a long time ago, but like when you could buy the box sets.
Yes.
And so I would go through like a season of The Simpsons in like a day or two, like 24 episodes or whatever and stuff. Like,
yeah, those are not short seasons either. No.
And I bring this up out of uncomfort a little bit, but also because to bring the point that we trigger certain things. Oh, nicotine, caffeine. These are addictions, your hardcore drugs. You can be addicted to anything.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's like we've found out with social media.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's caffeine or it's any of these other things, moderation is always the key. And remembering who is in control. That doesn't mean that it's just a snap of the fingers and everything will be okay. But we need to be reminded oftentimes that we are in control of these things, and that the more we are reassured of that, the more power we have to make these changes. That said, I ain't giving up coffee.
I just like having it in the morning.
And to be fair here, caffeine is pretty low on the list of dangerous drugs. Okay. Yeah. It can affect things in your body.
Or if you're on some kind of medication that it interferes with.
Exactly.
Or if you have a specific, medical condition.
Right. Or you're allergic to it, which some people might be. Mm-hmm. Who knows, But in the scheme of things, you'd have to take how much caffeine to literally hurt yourself, it's to OD on it.
Yeah. Sugar is probably more harmful to your body.
It would probably get you quicker than caffeine would, right? In the end. So yeah, it's really down in the list. There's been times when I haven't had coffee and maybe I get a headache or something, but it's not like I'm like, I need coffee kind of thing. It's like, okay, it's fine. I could probably, if there was a reason, I could probably give it up and be okay with it,
I'd skip it.
Yeah.
And I do skip it every now and then in the morning, not workday mornings, but sometimes weekend mornings.
Is it just as much a part of the routine part of it?
Absolutely.
That is a part of coffee and part is just doing it.
To be fair, that's what a lot of addiction is too.
Yeah.
It is the routine,
It's habit. You make a habit.
So that's exactly.
I did during these really hot days, because I did not want to add more steam and humidity to my apartment by boiling water. So I did resort to microwave instant coffee.
Oh.
Yeah. couple days. But hey. to make it palatable, I put in a lot, number one. And then I also added maple syrup and coconut milk. So
wow.
Nice. It was almost like a instant coffee latte.
Nice. Those tend to taste a little flat to me. That seems like it would kick it up a little bit. That
well, and also when you add a lot of the instant coffee grounds, you know, helps. I mean, when that you helps. When you like take and you pour it back into your cup, and it kind of looks like the clay that they put on their faces at spas.
Oh,
you
know? Man.
Not like the consistency, just the color.
Yes, yes.
I'm having a coffee facial.
Maybe yes, it doubles as that. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it doubles.
Hey, I don't know.
I mean, they use coffee for a lot of things. It's a very effective enema.
That's fair.
That might be something
very true.
That's not something you want to think too much about, but it is something that is.
Maybe it'll stimulate your skin, so the wrinkles. You know, maybe it will keep wrinkles from on your face. I don't know. Maybe has anyone tried this? I don't know.
Am I the only one that the thing that prevents me from having a bigger coffee cup is carrying it like in my car, like the coffee place?
It's got to fit in the cup holder, man.
I broke my coffee cup, so I had like 5 minutes, and I was looking at coffee cups, and I didn't find one. But I was looking at like I was going. Big at first, and then I'm like, "Oh wait a minute, that's never going to fit in my Jeep."
You got this giant, like Slurpee kind of thing. Yeah.
The only thing preventing me from being more of an addict is basically convenience. Is just,
that and the people who will judge you when they look absolutely. At your coffee cup.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I used to work for a lady who would not drink out of like coffee anything besides her coffee cup, like her mug.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wow. Like an actual. Yeah. China teacup kind of coffee cup.
All right.
And she would bring them in her car. She'd bring them in her car to work. And she'd show up with this cute little.
Wow.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just her thing.
It's kind of fun.
Love you, Dar.
In a weird way.
Yep.
What is the, and I'm asking this for a good friend of mine, what is the largest size coffee mug you can have that people will not judge you for? 16, 24, 32?
Well, okay. So I did catch 75. Some flack. No, those are soda level.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're talking here. Big gulps. No, like I did catch some flack from Pat and Parker the other day when they saw my mermaid coffee cup.
Huh.
I mean, it's only actually like a 2-cup size, but I only have 1 cup of my 2-cup size coffee a day. So it's 2 cups,
it's 2 cups of 1 cup. Boy,
in 1 cup.
Confusing.
Yeah. It is a large mug.
I don't
and
know.
They're tall, so they look larger than they probably are. But
Mel drinking out of a beer stein. Yes. I only have 1 cup of coffee a day. One.
I like that. Now I want to see. Now I actually think that that's a thing we should do. We should have these beer steins.
Beer steins with coffee mugs. In it. Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God.
They're big. That's all I'm thinking about. So actually, that's where all this leads back to is what is the biggest size coffee mug I can have where I will not be judged? We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with some people that got great coffee right now for you, El Cafe. We will talk about that and our birthday and anniversary club coming up. It is Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning here at 97.5 FM. WFHR.
Does construction make you hungry? Sitting in the hot vehicle waiting to get through the next block or to be taken way out on a countryside detour? Maybe this summer you can turn that struggle into a new experience with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Cruise in for real Mexican dishes, homemade pies, and friendly faces. Relax in air-conditioned comfort and explore something new with El Cafe the next time you're stuck in Central Wisconsin road construction. Put a little fiesta back into your day and drown the construction stress away.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
All eyes will be on the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors as they become the Central Wisconsin Mashers in tribute to all the potato farming brings to our area. Join them for their annual Mashers Night on Friday, August 1st. Don't miss your chance to win one of the specialty jerseys in their silent auction presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center and McCain's Foods. Gather your family and head on down to historic Winterfield for this spudtastic game as the Raptors try to mash the Lakeshore Chinooks. First pitch at 6:35, but the fun lasts all evening.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight will drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Celebration, you're a little bit better and ready for some celebration. Some time to get louder and not by yourself.
You heard the boys. Time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us. Check out some of these great specials. Say hi to the gang over there for us. And of course, enjoy the atmosphere.
Yes.
I know we touch on it from time to time, but I really love that building. I've been in there a number of times before it was El Cafe. And even now with the new owners and all that, energy has just gotten stronger over mm-hmm. there. It's a great way to start off your day.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's great food. And yes, while it's not as dark as I usually like my coffee, their coffee is good.
Check it out, everybody. If I was in Port Edwards, I would go try my hardest to start as many weekend mornings. My mornings are obviously a little covered. Just a cup of coffee and a pie. That sounds really good.
That's a great
to
way
me.
To start your day.
A really, really good way.
Breakfast of champions.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And of course, we encourage you to get us those birthdays and anniversaries. You can email us info@WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages as well, WFHR or WIRIs. And of course, you can call on up.
That's right, 715-424-2600, or just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app.
Encourage you to join us, everybody. We're looking forward to hearing your birthdays and anniversaries.
Oh, dang it. I just looked at their specials. Mm. I want blueberry pancakes.
Yeah.
I haven't had blueberry
really good.
Pancakes in
I
so
want
long.
Blueberry pancakes.
You just know that they use real good blueberries in there or something.
Man.
And, yeah.
Hey, Fidel, do you like do deliveries?
mm-hmm. That's a good question. So, see, this is why she's the head of news. That's a great question right there. It's awesome.
Also, the Meat Lover's Benedict. I would totally eat that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sounds all right.
Yeah, sounds all right. Holiday sauce, dude. Yeah,
that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
One.
All right, because that's that qualifier. We can get right into it. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Harold Engelbright.
Happy birthday, Harold.
Harold.
Solid I like that name. I like
great
it.
Great,
Harold.
Got some happy birthday.
Got some good nicknames. Hal is always a good one
like
on that
Hal.
One.
Hal's like
a good
Hal.
Nickname. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday, sir. Enjoy mm-hmm. your day. Hoping you have a good one. Mm-hmm. And our qualifier, Pam Ross.
Happy birthday, Pam.
Happy birthday, Pam.
Pam has not only done some incredible, impactful, some of the most impactful work in this community, working at ODC and being one of the really first people at that, and working mm-hmm. and helping our community. The way ODC has grown, she has been an integral part of as well. Mm-hmm. Her as a musician, and with it, mm-hmm. whether it's the Antoinettes or her just playing herself and with others, she has entertained this area so much. She's done a mm-hmm. number of different things on those levels.
Yep.
Pam, I've told her this many times, she is an honorary Maloff as well. when my family first moved here and we're living in Rome, my aunt Pat, who is one of my favorite people that'll ever exist, suffered from brain trauma mm-hmm. and was pretty much what we expected and what we were told, I should say, is homebound and mm-hmm. that she would not really do much else. And I was her best friend and we played games and did a lot of things. She didn't get out of the house. And this is a woman in her early 20s mm-hmm. And just kind of more frustrated than we realized. Pam came to the house to work with her and did this for months.
Wow.
And to the point where they finally got my Aunt Pat a job at Shopko, and she started working there through the ODC. And the rest is history. Like, my aunt has been married since. She is off traveling the states. I'm pretty sure she's in Florida right now. And just living her life. Every time I see her, she's smiling, and my Aunt Pat is one of the best smiles you'll ever see. And it doesn't happen without Pam.
That's right. That's so cool.
And I bring that story up, and I know I've repeated it many times, and I will continue to, in part because it is a perfect example of what this ODC does for our community. Mm-hmm. That's one person, one family. Think of all in the 20, 30 years they have been around doing this, how many families they've been, how many businesses have been met much stronger because ODC employees are working there. And they're some of the most reliable, accountable people you can think of.
Right.
Pam is an integral part of all of that.
Makes our communities better.
And,
absolutely.
And for that, she gets to qualify for El Cafe. No.
Melissa, hey, that's no small feat.
That's right.
It is. We appreciate you, Pam.
I mean, enjoy she did have day. A 50-50 chance, but
yeah, exactly.
You know.
That's why we need more birthdays.
Yes, more of them. Get them to us, everybody. And let's see who you're sharing your birthdays with. Phineas O'Connell is 28. He is Billie Eilish's older brother, producer, co-songwriter.
Yes.
Now, the two, I watched a really good piece on Billie Eilish the other day, actually. The two have not split up. They've just kind of gone their separate ways for right now. Just this recent tour, it's the first time that she's touring without her family. She has always toured with her mom and sometimes her dad, but obviously with her brother. Those two, he's just kind of like needs a break. And kind of like, you know what, they've been kind of a big thing for a long time. She's got to fly and do her own thing. And it's really cool for all of the parties. There's no, you know, artistic differences or anything like that. They're going to work together again. Probably,
oh, I'm sure they
maybe
are.
Maybe even
yes.
their next album they will. But I think that's really cool. You don't see that all the time and everything. And as a overprotective, proud older brother, I can't imagine what he must feel like for her and all those things. And he is. He's incredible, man. Like, I hope he starts doing like soundtracks because his production, I would leave to you to be able to touch on it much more, but he does some things that I have not heard a lot of people do make seamless and make really work. And part of what she's very talented, has a wonderful voice and all that. What I got brought into was his production. What I got into was his sound.
Yeah. He's a remarkable all around talent, a musician and producer. Yeah. He's got a tremendous ear. So it would be interesting to see if he decided to just, you know, go out on his own a little bit, see what he could do, because I would be very interested as well.
Hope Solo is 44, Olympic and World Cup hero, who is one of the greatest female goaltenders in world history.
And has one of the most fantastic names ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
Hope Solo?
Come on now. Seriously.
Happy 46th birthday to Diva Zappa, Frank's youngest daughter, sister of Moon Unit, Dweezil and Ahmet.
I wonder what they think about their names.
Well, they seem to have gotten used to them.
Well,
so,
how could you not? I mean, it's your name.
Grow up with a dad like that. It's probably as normal as John. It probably is. Jamie Priestley is 48. Underrated, underappreciated actress. You might have seen her on Mom or My Name is Earl. Joe Dirt. She's in that, too. Underrated scene in Joe Dirt, too.
She started her career, interestingly enough, she was a starlet in a lot of, you know, kind of B movies kind of thing. She kind of cut her teeth on those. I love the fact that later in her career, she's got some really good roles, and she's really good at it, too.
She's incredibly funny.
Yes.
Incredibly funny.
Her timing is great.
Hilary Swank is 51.
Oh, wow.
Really?
She won the Best Actress Oscars for Million Dollar Baby and Boys Don't Cry. I may remember her as well from the next Karate Kid. Didn't get an Oscar for that one. I don't know if it's still around or not, but she had an Alaskan show or something on Hulu that my mom and dad like were just drawn to, just loved it and everything. She's good.
The core.
She's had a nice, fantastic career. Yeah,
The Core from 2003.
Yeah, I remember that one. I forgot about that one. Good reference. Tom Green is 54, writer, director, of course, the Tom Green Show and many other things. Tom Green later in life and after that has been very open about his cancer struggles and some of those things and bringing more attention to that.
Yep.
And has not changed really too much. It's pretty much still Tom Green.
He kind of retired from the business there for a while. I know he's Canadian too, so not that we should hold that against him. But
he said the reason he did that is because he was starting to feel not that he wasn't being true to his authentic self.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Something like, I can't word it right, but it's something he said in the interview that I saw about being a caricature of himself or something right. like that. And, right. Yeah. That would be a weird thing, I would think.
That would feel very weird.
I just heard parts of an interview with Jim Carrey, who was talking about that. He's like, everything is a character. Everything I am is a character.
Wow.
It's one of those dicey things that you were learning more and more how to handle and how to adapt to with we've never known more about our stars. We've never known more about people with social media and all this. We're getting more and more than we've ever gotten. People knew like five things about Cary Grant, his whole life, his right. whole career or whatever. Now we know that within a text with a post.
Yeah, right.
And everything.
Well, and people are definitely being more open about themselves, but we have those other magazines that, you know, we don't want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah. That do nothing but dig through garbage and try to find dirt.
Yeah. Christy Taylor is 54. A couple of underused, underappreciated people here. Sally Sitwell on Arrested Development. She was also in Zoolander movies, Dodgeball, the Brady Bunch movies. She played Marsha in the Brady Bunch movies.
Oh, okay.
She was married with Ben Stiller for a while there. Okay. Thus, a lot of the movies she did with him. She's very good.
Yes,
very pretty. I don't know why she doesn't work more. Other than just not, maybe she doesn't want to. I don't know.
Yep.
Top five directors I want to work with. Christopher Nolan is 55 today.
Ooh.
Director of the Dark Knight trilogy, Dunkirk, Memento, Inception, Tenet. If you want to be
Oppenheimer,
yeah. If you want to be
Interstellar,
if you want to be pushed as a viewer, if you want to be entertained as a viewer, it is almost the best to do it right now. I also directed one of the Harry Potter movies, I believe, too.
Man, he is one of those guys that. That's so rare. Not only does he make interesting films and he experiments and he takes chances, but he's also a huge box office success.
Yeah.
You do not see that very often.
No, I don't know how he does it, but no. he is phenomenal.
Yeah.
If somebody told me he's the best in the game right now, I wouldn't fight him on
it. Yeah, I'd believe it.
Terry Crews is 57, better known as Hal in the Expendable movies, or of course the Old Spice commercials where he really got a big break. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is another yep. one that mm-hmm. you can see him on. And a Me Too silence breaker. He got blackballed for a while there because he came out and talked about how producers were trying to make moves on him and things mm-hmm. like that. Yep. And at the time, still really one of the few men that have come forward about that stuff. Yep. And I think him for that. I appreciate mm-hmm. him for that.
That was brave, yes.
Mm-hmm. Great actor. Very funny, very mm-hmm. likable and everything. But honestly, for me, that's the biggest thing he's done with his career right now.
Yep.
Don't have enough people. It's happening to plenty of men.
We've heard from a few, but not a lot. Yeah.
Don't hear about it. The great, the legend, Lawrence Fishburne is 64. He is Morpheus. and of course, Pops on Blackish and a million great things over the years. Furious Styles and Boys in the Hood. And
I mean,
legitimacy to that movie.
I know who this is.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times I don't know their real names.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
He was in The Matrix. Yeah, The Matrix movies definitely is where.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Kate Bush is 67.
Love Kate Bush.
Love her.
Kate Bush.
Love.
That a woman who did not compromise. Even when she started in the music business, she's like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and people will like it. And they did. Because she had a lot of success with her music, but it was not conventional. I will tell you that.
No.
Especially her voice.
And she was really pushing boundaries with mm-hmm. a lot of the production, a lot of the things they were trying to do with her songs back in the day. Running Up That Hill, of course, got a second life with Stranger Things, and that was kind of cool to see for her.
She started writing at 11.
Oh, I didn't know
she's
that.
Writing wow. songs, yeah.
Wow. Precocious. Man, Running Up That Hill is one of the most fantastic songs ever written. Yeah. Oh,
such a good song. Very happy happy 69th birthday to the very brave Anita Hill. I try to refer to her in that way going forward because mm-hmm. we did such a poor job as society. Now, I was a kid. We were all kids when Anita Hill was going up there and talking about and testifying about Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop things from happening. He still got the position he did and all those things, of course, and he is currently on there. And we have plenty of evidence to show that he has been swayed. He can be bought.
Mm-hmm.
Clarence Thomas is for sale. That and we know that in part because of Anita Hill. She tried to tell us this early on with how creepy he was and all those things. And I'm not saying anything out of turn here. This is all documented.
It was on television.
And he's apparently not ashamed of any of this either. So he's not going to mind me saying any of this either. The way she was treated by media, the way she was treated by comedians and all those things.
It was disgusting.
And we just got done talking about this with Malika and Lewinsky the other week.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we can be better about these things going forward. I don't know if we will.
Yep.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is 78.
Ooh.
Get in the chopper.
I'll be back.
Yes. All right. Yes. Yes.
So I think last year I told about my mom. Had a little connection with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She graduated with her master's degree from UW-Superior, and he was getting an honorary degree at that same thing. So he was at there. He actually came to the commencement, gave a speech and everything, which was kind of fun, you know, because he went there briefly when he was first came to the country and was going to school. He went to UW-Superior for a little while. Which I didn't know until it's like, whoa, here he is. And that's kind of cool. But other than that, my other connection is I have a friend that asked me once, he's like, so I'm writing a story and I need a name that sounds like Schwarzenegger, but I don't want to use that name. Can I use yours instead to be the governor? I was like, sure, go ahead. You know, so my name is
Schwabegger is so close to Schwarzenegger. I mean, the ending.
It is. It's very close.
It's close. It's close. I like it. That's fantastic. Also, Henry Ford was born on this day in 1863, passed away in 47. Mm-hmm. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with more fun for you. Everybody, we're talking aliens. When we get back, or are we?
Are we?
The question.
I'm gonna have more caffeine.
Well, we're gonna find out. Coming up, morning show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Portage County DA has issued charges in the July 6th double homicide in the town of New Hope. John L. Schulfer has been charged with 7 total felony charges, including 2 counts of first-degree intentional homicide as a repeater and 2 counts of causing mental harm to a child repeater, among other charges. Schulfer will have his first Portage County court appearance on August 1st at 1:15 p.m. He's being held in the Wapaka Jail on a $2 million cash bond. Wisconsin has its first confirmed case of West Nile virus this year. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Department of Health Services disease epidemiologist Rebecca Osborne says most people who get infected may not even be aware, but symptoms include fever, chills, headache, muscle aches, rash, and fatigue. The confirmed case was in Barron County, a man in his 60s. Mosquitoes collected in Milwaukee and Lafayette counties have tested positive for the virus. To avoid mosquito bites, apply insect repellent, wear long sleeves, and remove any standing water from your property.
Since the arrest in April, attorneys for Jenny Wickey have been requesting a reduction in her $2 million bond amount. Wickey was arrested on 14 felony charges, including fraud and theft. Wickey owns 2 restaurants in Nacusa, West River Cafe, and Little Mexico. The first request for bond reduction in late May was denied. A month later, on June 24th, Wickey's bond was reduced to $1 million. Now, late last week, Wiki's cash bond has been adjusted down to $200,000. Despite the court denying the bond modification, they still lowered the cash required to secure her release from jail. If she's able to make bond, Wiki is not allowed to leave the state of Wisconsin, sell any major items without permission of the court, or open or reopen any business without the approval of the Department of Revenue. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Are the Packers tough enough? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers training camp continues. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if the team has been physical enough in the playoffs against teams like the 49ers or the Eagles.
Quite frankly, over the last couple of years, I felt really good about our physicality and our toughness and our ability to play that kind of game. I think there probably were times in the past where I was kind of like, we need to be a little more physical of a football team, but not over the last couple of years.
Baseball. The Brewers with another win, 9-3 over the Cubs. Milwaukee now with a 2-game lead over Chicago. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's a game of people. Those people are at their best self. If Vaughn starts worrying about, like, oh, well, what if next year, what can I, I'm going to set a record. All bets are off. Oh, I got 19 steals. I got to get to 20. No one cares. You know what I mean? No one will care about your baseball card.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In the Weird Get Weirder news, after the Coldplay concert Kiss Cam incident involving astronomer CEO and the company's head of HR, who have both been let go, the company has hired Nepo Baby and publicity hound Gwyneth Paltrow as its temporary spokesman. Astronomer definitely has a sense of humor about itself, since Paltrow is the ex-wife of Coldplay frontman Chris Martin. Some people parlay an Oscar win into better creative work. Then there's Paltrow, who will try to sell anything. Director Richard Linklater and actor Ethan Hawke teamed up again for the film Blue Moon. A biographical drama with lots of music tells the story of Lawrence Hart, who was Richard Rodgers' partner before he connected with Oscar Hammerstein. The film is not expected to hit theaters until October of this year, but it's knocking the socks off most critics with 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Multiple times, the Linklater-Hawke collaborations have led to an Oscar nomination for Hawke. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight will drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Drums, please.
Oh, yeah. Time to get into the segment.
Doesn't sound as good, does it?
I like it, though.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, especially if you can hear us, Seth.
So we had a little issue last night. Our computer that we use to stream on the app and on the website and everything kind of croaked last night. It broke down. It crashed. So Chuck, our fantastic manager here, replaced the computer. And then we had to have, you know, the Madison people do a little thing here and there. So it is streaming right now, but the streams are a little switched for IRI and FHR.
We got some wires crossed somewhere.
A little wires crossed.
Don't mix the streams.
Yes. Don't cross the streams.
Don't cross the streams.
So if you're looking for FHR, go to the IRI part of the Civic Media app, and you will hear it there. So we're still working on that, getting it fixed. But we are streaming. It's just not where it's supposed to be at the moment.
It's like Freaky Friday. Okay, but it's a Wednesday. Because we like things weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird, we gotta talk about this story with this lady in the Ring camera. So a mysterious Ring camera footage sparked some alien speculation.
Seriously?
A California woman's doorbell camera captured a video of a mysterious figure that has some residents speculating about alien activity. Jessica Ortiz shared footage on social media showing that the Ring camera picked up outside her Compton home after dark. I'm going to show the video.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you see it yet, Seth?
What's that?
Did you see it yet?
Did I see the video? No, yeah. I have not watched the video.
Okay, so.
Okay, well, you're going to have to watch it like multiple times because it's quick.
There's this video right here.
Okay. Well,
you got to look in the bottom right corner.
Right over here.
Yeah.
pulling up the
cone. Oh, no.
See?
Right there.
No, sir, there's that.
It's like a little cone-headed three-year-old.
Right. And then there's this footage here, too, of this one. I don't know.
And I don't know why that one has it, like, it almost looks like there's a cloud over that part of the...
Yeah.
Is that their way of drawing attention to the right part of the video? Because then they remove it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see right there.
Okay, yeah. Right there. And you only really see it from the waist up.
Yes.
Because it's, yeah, but the head is like, I don't know, what would you call that? Hammer-headed?
It's a macrocephalic head, I would say.
Oddly, very...
Please explain for us what that means, big brain.
It's a big head. It's got a big head. That's what it is. It's got a big head.
Oh, so that's what I should call you, macrocephalic from now on?
There you go. It sounds cool.
It's everybody's nickname. Okay. That'll roll well right off the tongue. Let's take a call real quick. A good morning. You're on the morning show.
Morning, James.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Last night, I had a bad night. I jumped up with a buffalo, and I woke up exhausted.
Oh, no.
That's rough. Oh,
that's good. That was good.
That was good. We hope you're having just as good of a morning, bud. Thanks so much for calling and making us laugh. You have a good one. Take care.
Oh, that's great.
Best listeners in radio. Appreciate you. With this lady, one thing I wanted to note that I thought was noteworthy about the interview. She was kind of panicking, and anyone, please explain to me what my ring camera is caught here.
She's like, I don't want to call anybody.
And to that point, she doesn't want to call the police. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that she did not call law enforcement for something like this.
Right.
Now, to most of us, I think we kind of assume, hey, that you would. Why would you do that? That's mm-hmm. But nowadays, man, I think they're too quickly to bug law enforcement for things which they're not have, you know, yep. It's not really under their jurisdiction.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest.
Sorry, ma'am.
There ain't much you can do if you're a law enforcement. Like, our officers are very well prepared.
We don't have jurisdiction
they
for
have
that.
They have diplomatic immunity or something, yeah.
Will Smith didn't even know what to do at Independence Day. Like, how are these guys supposed to? In all seriousness, I don't want to take this too seriously.
No, you don't. You shouldn't. Because the alien, if it's the shape, it looks like Roger from American Dad is what it looks like.
Yeah, it does.
That's it is, seriously. So, yeah.
I thought it looked strangely like the aliens from Alien.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like it looked a little too much like that.
Mm. Where's Sigourney Weaver when you need her?
Oh, that alien would be in trouble. Yeah. So the thing that got me on this one is this is from UPI, the story. It's not from like, Bigfootisreal.com kind of thing. You know?
No,
so,
it's from a legit source.
It kind of bugs me, though, that's what they put in the headline. It's like, people speculated it's aliens. That's so clickbaity. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. UPI? Come on.
Well, now, what else were they supposed to put, Seth?
It was a strange, mysterious thing on the ring camera.
Mysterious intruder on ring camera.
Or not even intrude. They didn't intrude anything. They just walked past.
Mysterious walker on ring camera.
There you go. See? Yeah.
So this is an interesting conversation.
Very short being.
I like that. I like just being very
in white,
very blank, and very just. Since the dawn of newspapers, there have been headline reporters, strongly.
Headline writers. Yep,
that's their job. Yep. Got to come up with the crazy headlines and everything. Mm-hmm. New York Post is still doing it, and some other, and we've kind of seen that come back in many ways.
It's true,
but mostly in the clickbait thing, like you're talking about there.
Because you know what they're using,
right?
Oh, yep. Fair. Fair.
Yeah. when you lean on AI that much,
that's what's going to happen.
There's been multiple stories recently that have been reported on and everything, and they've had to go back and take them out because it turned out that the data that they had wasn't correct. There was a Sports Illustrated article on Luka Doncic that wasn't correct because they Googled the answers and got AI, and it was wrong.
Check your sources. Yeah. AI can be wrong.
A lot.
And substantially wrong.
Yes.
And with that, you guys are great. You're teaming me up so well today. Because what I wanted to touch on with this is, if I am an alien, now is the perfect time to vacation on Earth.
Yep.
even if we get like a nonstop footage, 24-hour footage of an alien,
somebody will be that's fake.
That's fake.
That's AI.
Somebody's going to believe that.
It's just generated.
Like, this is the perfect time to be coming here. Like,
just
like,
walk around and in
do you hear that?
Daylight.
Ozone's open.
Yep. I mean, in Earth this time of year, perfect time to vacation. So I don't know.
I mean, away from the wildfire smoke, maybe.
Some of those things.
You know, so we're probably safe for now.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, that writing for the web is a different animal than any other kind of like journalism writing or essay writing that you have to do, because you have to hit all these different things to make it show up in
benchmarks. Yeah.
Yeah. To make it show up in searches. So I think that it's not necessarily all the writer's fault or the, you know, headline writer's fault, because we're constrained by some of these things.
It's something that sometimes there's no bad guy, sometimes there's no hero, it's just people, and this is something that we have created as a society.
And the internet is the Wild West.
This is one of those things we're gonna have to adapt to. We're gonna have to figure out the right ways to do this and handle this. And as people, and again it might be my last naive bone in my body, but I believe we are smart enough and we can work together enough to really figure these things out and to get to a better place with this, where we do have, this is a reputable source. We all know that. It didn't start out that way. It's not as if they came out the box this way. They earned our respect. They earned our trust. Those three broadcasters we've talked about many times where we watched when we were kids, they didn't just come out the gate that way. Cronkite didn't come out the gate that way. They earned it over time. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if we have more sources doing that, we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. We will be able to get through this. I understand that it can be really scary. It can be a little freaky right now. But I don't know. I feel like, we've done this before.
Yeah,
and look at what Orson Welles did with War of the Worlds and radio. We've been scared before by fake stories, mm-hmm. and we've been all right. We come out the other end, and we're better for it.
If you ever want a real trip, go read about the story from 1830s of the New York Sun and the Batman on the Moon. It's a great story about just what we're talking about right now. Yep. It's a classic. Batman on the Moon. Batman on the Moon.
Man, here I thought this was like a new story.
No, not that Batman.
Yeah, I thought it was about Batman. I thought it was, all right. I guess I'll look into it still. And aliens out there. This is the time to come here. This is it. This is a good time.
You've been invited now.
We will be back with more show coming up. Morning show at WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last year, we reported that the Georgia State Board of Elections passed new rules aimed at disrupting or overturning the 2024 presidential election. One of those rules, allowing members of county election boards to do their own investigation before certifying an election, was just unanimously struck down. In July and August 2024, the Georgia State Board of Elections laid the groundwork for obstructing or overturning the presidential election. One element granted individual members of county election boards the power to do a reasonable inquiry of election results prior to certifying, potentially sowing chaos and delaying the outcome. The effort by three state election board members, all outspoken Trump loyalists, was part of an apparent scheme in swing states to use the specter of voting by non-citizens as a pretext. The Georgia Supreme Court refused to hear a GOP appeal of a stay of the rules before the election. Trump won the election in Georgia, so unsurprisingly, no objections to certification materialized. June 11th, the Georgia Supreme Court struck down four of the rules. Another case contesting the reasonable inquiry rule was decided by the Georgia Appeals Court July 2nd. The court unanimously concluded that election officials could voice concerns about an election to state authorities, but, quote, have a mandatory duty to certify all election results, unquote. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle. sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Feeling those good vibes on a Wednesday. Hope you all are having a great hump day out there. Europeans don't hate us. That's the headline. We're talking catchy headlines, right? That's what we're going to do.
They don't hate us here in this room, because they've not had any contact.
No idea how they feel about you out there. We just know us.
Yeah.
We're good. That's hilarious. That's great. The travel site upgraded points pulled over 2,000. Pulled. It sounded like I said pulled over. Like they just.
I pulled you over to have this poll. Answer these questions.
Take two. Polled over 2,000 people in Europe to find out how they really feel about tourists from the U.S. And turns out, yes, it can be annoying, but not all tourists. Around 1,000 Americans were also polled, and 40% of us think that we're a little more annoying than people from other countries, and 36% of people in Europe agree with that. But not really that high of a number. 36,
no, not
really as high as I think a lot of us would think.
I agree.
About 19% of Europeans said Americans are actually better behaved than tourists from other places.
Mm.
63% said we're usually friendly, 42% said curious, and 32% said fun. All of those are higher ratings than Americans give themselves.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Just over. Go figure. Americans are harder on themselves than most are.
And we're more fun, apparently, than we thought.
Just over half of us also think Americans come across as arrogant, but only 27% of Europeans said that's actually true. So it's like a really low number there in comparison. 40% of us also think that we seem rude, but just 12% of Europeans think that we actually are rude.
That's because they've met people from France.
Hey-oh!
One thing everyone does agree on is Americans are loud. 69% of people in the U.S. think we could dial down the volume a bit, and 70% of Europeans agree.
We're just loud, that's all.
The countries that find us the most annoying are Portugal, Belgium, and Ireland. People in Poland, Spain, and the UK think we're pretty cool.
Oh, wait, that's hilarious. So the people in Portugal don't like, but Spain is fine. Yeah.
Ireland has that opinion because there's so many Americans. Like, I have a little Irish. I've got a little Irish.
That's
got
to be annoying. Yeah.
More than any other European country, Ireland gets that.
If the actual number of people that had Irish in it, like, there'd be like, Ireland would have like 50 million people.
There were a lot of immigrants that fled Ireland during the potato famine
to
come to the U.S. So, yes, there is some Irish blood over here? Yep. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it's been mixed
quite
a bit, yeah. It might depend on which state you're from. People from Texas were rated the most annoying overall. Florida and California were next.
By the way, we agree. Hey, you know, there's lots of people from Texas, a lot of people I like from Texas, but there's this weird thing about Texans. They cannot get over the fact that they're from Texas.
Oh, yeah. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Well, and they're apparently, this is like taught. I don't know if it's in the schools, but they even mention it. Some of the more self-aware ones, they're like, yeah, that's what you hear all the time when you're growing up. Texas is different. Texas is exceptional. Texas is this. Texas is that. So I guess it's kind of bred into them.
I think that when you look at the history of Texas and how it used to be its own country, right, and then
very
how
briefly,
that
yes,
changed and all those things, I think you talk about old school Texans that understood that and knew that, and that all they got out of it was, well, our capital is as tall as the capital in D.C.
Where we could also talk about their power grid, but there's a separate issue.
Sure, but there's a chip on the shoulder of a lot of Texans that has been inherited. in many ways. Yeah. I know this as a Chicagoan. Chicagoans, most of them won't admit it, but there's a huge chip on Chicagoans' shoulders. In the idea of where we rank as far as
second city thing.
Yes, yeah. And all that. And most people thinking that as a slight, where it's actually more of a Phoenix thing and a rebirth kind of thing.
Sure.
I know this because of my oldest joke I've ever told. I used to make my nana laugh all the time. You want to know how you can tell somebody's Italian? Wait a minute. We'll tell you.
We'll let you know.
Texans are very similar.
They are very similar.
People were proud of where we're from. Now, is that where the loud part comes in? Because that part I thought was interesting. I've never thought of us as loud, but I also come from an Italian family where we are.
It's just, par for the course.
Everything.
Yeah.
We sleep loud. We do everything loud.
Well, and also our accent is loud. So
when you're
listening to crowds of people with speaking their own language, like, and I don't, I think it was that like people speaking British English sound more like a herd of sheep.
Yeah, I was going to say sheep.
And then French sound more like a gaggle of ducks.
Yeah.
And Americans sound just loud.
They sound like a herd of water buffalo is probably what they sound like. Yeah.
Now,
a flock of crows.
Nice. I've never been out of the country.
Murder of crows.
I was going to say it. I've never been out of the country, so I don't know too much of how I would handle myself or anything. But I guess I would tone it down a little bit. I don't know. Maybe low. That truck and talk so loud.
Be less loud.
Yeah, I guess.
All I can say is that I love the idea. The one time I was in Europe, I was in England, so technically Europe, I guess. But they knew my name. They pronounced it correctly, and they knew exactly where it was from, which was a revelation to me. It's something that's never happened before.
Come to Europe.
I go to the conference I'm going to. I go to pick up my thing and my thing, and they're like, "Oh, nice Swiss name.
That's
cool."
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A tsunami warning for Japan, Hawaii, and the California coastline downgraded after one of the largest earthquakes on record hit Far East Russia. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Malibu.
Given all of that power, it's incredible there wasn't more damage caused and that the waves that were projected never arrived in their entirety.
The economy rebounded in the second quarter, growing at an annual rate of 3%. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
This most recent quarter, we saw a plunge in imports. And so that's really helping boost that overall headline number with a significant amount of growth there.
President Trump says he will not extend Friday's tariff deadline. Ozzy Osbourne's wife and four of his children turned out as fans cheered a hearse